It's Tuesday, August 18th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, got a lot to cover tonight. I have articles on 4G broadband, UFOs in the UK, Gmail's on top. Is IE really the most secure browser in the marketplace right now? And some scams at Burger King, plus many, many, many more articles. You know what to do. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central Studios overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, my name is Todd Cochran. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link at the website. And hey, a lot of stuff for you tonight, folks. And of course, I want to welcome all of you that are new listeners to the show. I want to welcome the Ohana, the longtime subscribers of the podcast. And, of course, I want to welcome the listeners from 155 countries worldwide. And we appreciate that you're here with us this evening, day or morning, or whenever you may be listening to the show. And, of course, those of you that are on Ustream, welcome to the show as well. Hey, again, don't forget, sign up for that newsletter. It's available via the website at geeknewscentral.com. That'll get you the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. You can subscribe to the podcast via the RSS feeds as well, either through Zune Marketplace. And we're going to talk about Zune tonight. Found something out very cool that I don't think any of you are aware of, or very few of you are aware of. And, of course, iTunes, as always, you can get the podcast that way. If you are subscribed via iTunes, make sure that you go into your settings in iTunes and set those podcasts to download all. Because, you know, if you miss for 2 or 3 days, the system will stop downloading. So make sure you pay attention to your settings in iTunes. Last night I was looking at my stats. And we had just made a major update to the stats system. And actually, there's going to be probably a blog posting up about it tomorrow. In fact, I was looking at some of the cool stats. We're breaking listeners out by state. And I know which state is the biggest audience of the show. And matter of fact, I'm going to actually have a little contest to run by the first individual that guesses which state in the United States is the has the largest audience, number of audience members. And I think you're all going to be very surprised. Actually, if 2 or 3 of you guess the right state, then we'll put, you know, put your names in a hat and we'll draw them out. Maybe that's the fairest way. So if you think you know what the biggest state that listens to this show, drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. $50 certificate to either the iTunes or over at MSN, whichever place you'd like it, and we'll hook you up with that. So next show, guess which state has the biggest audience draw, and we'll give that away. Going to have some more contest stuff announced here in a few minutes. But when I was looking at those stats, one thing that I noticed was all of a sudden, a whole bunch of shows that have never been in the stats system were. And I was freaking out. I was like, Angelo, something is wrong. I'm, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, he was working on code. And he says, oh, man, I hope I didn't mess something up. And I went in and I was looking at some of our other podcasters that are on advertising deals to make sure that they're, you know, basically we weren't seeing the same data with theirs. And it was just my show. And we went in and pulled the log files. And it turns out someone is building something on Google Apps because they downloaded every piece of media that I have ever created. I was pretty impressed. They went through and got everything. So I don't know who you are. If you are the guilty party, I'd love to know what you're working on. Let me in on your secret. You definitely use some bandwidth. I hope you enjoy your bandwidth bill. Because you definitely didn't really impact mine because I don't have to worry about it. So it was kind of funny. It really, really was. But, you know, all these episodes, all the old OGG I used to produce the podcast in WMA format, OGG, and of course in MP3. So none of those OGG or WMA files have been downloaded forever. It's been since probably 2006, maybe, since I produced all three different types of media types. So it was kind of funny to see that. Okay, I've got a little pop-up today from Rob Greenlee over at Zune, and he's the one that's in charge of the podcast directory over there. And his initial basically pop-up to me was, "Hey, Todd, we're going to be doing a thing at Blog World Expo. I'd like to have on a panel I'm going to be on." And, of course, I agreed to help him out with that. So now I'm going to be on two panels at Blog World Expo. Both of them are going to be on in Saturday afternoon. Actually, Angela Mandato from Raw Voice is going to be doing a one as well Saturday afternoon. So you're going to get there's going to be three opportunities if you're going to Blog World to at least hear our thoughts and commentary to a bigger audience. But you can always stop by our booth while we're there and ask me on any topic, and I'll probably give you more than an earful. But I've had a number of Zune domains registered for a long time. Probably since the day the Zune was announced, I went rushed right out and bought maybe 20 Zune something domains, and Rob knew I had them, and I had really never, obviously, if Microsoft wants those domains, they're going to get them. So Rob asked me today if I'd be willing to donate ZunePodcast.com, that's with an S, ZunePodcast.com, to his actual, to the folks over there at Zune, so they could use that in part of their social media stuff that they're doing. So I've got the domain right now pointed at the Zune Podcast Directory. So I didn't know if you guys knew about this or not, but I was pretty surprised. I really, really was. He let me in on a few things that are coming on that. I'm not at liberty to say that yet, but I had just transferred this domain. I had bought this, actually. How much did I pay for this domain? I didn't pay too much for it. I actually bought this one from a third party and had it on a different register all this time, and I had just moved it over to GoDaddy. And there's actually a 60-day period where I can't transfer or do anything with that domain. And as soon as that's up, I'll just, let the Zune folks know if they want it, they can have it. But it's currently pointed at the Zune podcast directory over there. So I thought I'd let all of you know that so you guys can go and check that out. And I'm really applauding what Microsoft and Zune is doing with this. And, of course, with the Zune HD, we're going to be giving away a Zune HD. And actually, I've got, it looks like, maybe I'm going to play two submitted intros. I haven't listened to them yet. Two of them are from Joe. And I don't know if this is just a voicemail from David or not. But anyway, that will come at the end of the show, so you guys can listen to them. The first one I like the best wins, so Joe may win it tonight. So if you're, get your entries in to be the new voice of the Geek News Central podcast during the intro. That's the goal here, is to find a new intro for the show, and the person that turns in the one that I like the best, or the one I fall in love with, wins a Zune HD. And look forward to giving that away. We've got some more entries on the time capsule submissions. Keep those coming. Again, this is a contest that will have immediate payout, but we'll also have payout in 5 years when we open the time capsule. Basically, you're submitting entries on what you think is going to be happening in the podcasting space in 5 years. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, we'll have that available for a couple more weeks going. If you have comments on tonight's show, you can send in a voicemail comment to our voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. Those of you on Ustream, you can check that out behind me. Hey, matter of fact, those of you on Ustream, I want to show you a couple of things. I picked up some new cameras. And for those of you that listen to the audio portion of the podcast, you need to go back today and just watch this segment. Because these little point-tilt zoom cameras that I picked up from Sony are pretty doggone neat. And let me go ahead and actually cue the one up. Let me bring that up here. This is the view you guys on Ustream saw earlier. I just got to show these off because they're so cool. Now, I've got a little remote control today, but tomorrow some cables are coming, and I'm actually going to have a console here where I'll be actually change views by hand. Each of these little cameras can do 6 presets, And the first preset is what I'm on right now. Number two, I can come a little closer. Number three, it gets me even closer, as you guys can see. Number four brings me right down here. If I want to do a demo on something, I can bring it down on the table. Preset number five actually shows you, well, it doesn't show you the outside of the studio because the door's shut. But you guys can see a portion of the studio here you've never seen before. And then preset number six takes you over to just the logo. So I thought I would show you guys that. I'm pretty happy with this so far. The camera quality is not that much better than the camera I had up there before. But so far, I like it quite a bit. And what I want to show you guys now is a camera that I've got behind me that I'm actually, let me get this thing adjusted here. So let me flip the screen here. So right now, you see the machine that's actually recording the audio to the show. You can see that going down. We're at 10 minutes, 45 seconds in the podcast. Second view actually shows the TriCaster and work and the views that you're looking at there. View number three actually brings up the machine that's taking care of the Ustream chat and basically controlling the system itself. And then Zoom number four brings you over onto, if I can get the camera to switch, what I'm actually looking at on my page. And of course, all of this would not be possible without my great sponsors at GoDaddy.com. You guys can see my little GoDaddy logo there. And if you're looking for domain names, if you're looking to save some money, you're looking for some discounts on shared hosting accounts, dedicated servers, I got some great domains for you. You can find link to all of my codes at GeekNewsCentral.com. And then all you really have to do is get over to GoDaddy and use that Todd20 code to save 20% on shared hosting accounts. You can use the Todd code to save 10% on all other purchases except for domain names. You can use ComSale to save money on .coms. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. And, of course, I want to congratulate the folks at GoDaddy. This weekend they had a big win at the nationwide event in, I guess, in Michigan. The GoDaddy car won the event there. So it was a pretty good race at the end, and I enjoyed watching. I caught the rerun on ESPN late in the evening. I was pretty excited. I actually came in here and Twittered one of the folks I know at GoDaddy and said congratulations. And I think they were still partying because I got the Twitter message back, and it was pretty early in the morning on the East Coast. So they must have had a pretty good time. But I hope you guys enjoyed the little short camera view there. I just had to show this off. I'm having a lot of fun with these things. So now we'll see if I use them very much. All right, let me look through my list here to make sure that I've gotten everything covered. Timecast. Oh, all right. Final donations have come in, and I'll be PayPaling our 500th show winner tomorrow. He actually sent a message to me today indicating that he'd rather have the money sooner than later. The total we're sending out is $710. That will go in PayPal tomorrow to him. So that was the grand total we raised for show 500. I want to thank all of the contributors. If any more money comes in between now and you know, the next couple of days or whenever, if any more comes in and has donations on a check or anything, I'll definitely repay PayPal him the information. Also want to remind you about TPN Weekly. New weekly podcast is up at Tech Podcast Network. Check that out. It's one of our shows over there for the first time is doing the weekly, so check the podcast out. And, of course, check out the free magazines at geeknewscentral.com. We want to just remind you, of course, GoToMeeting is the best online conferencing solution there really is. And when you're out there and you need to do an online conference, you don't want to travel. You want to save money. You want to stay in the office. You don't want to have to go fly someplace. You don't want to have to get in the car. You know, GoToMeeting can be launched in seconds. You can be up in a meeting chatting with the individual, showing them the presentations, whatever it may be, on your desktop, and it just simply works. As I explained in the last show, I was in an event recently where the software didn't work, and it was from a leading competitor of theirs. I know this application works. I use it every day. Get a free 30-day trial. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. Okay. Let's go ahead and get into tech. We're running long on just regular commentary tonight. And I'm going to start right out. Well, actually, let me see what Firefox is going to do here, if it's going to cooperate tonight. You know, I don't know what it's been, but I'll be honest with you. Since I started using Firefox 3.5, it has not cooperated well with me. I've had more crashes of Firefox recently than any other time that I've been using the browser. And it's sitting here with an hourglass, and I have no idea what it's doing. It doesn't want to change anything. That's usually indicative that something bad is really about to happen. Let's talk a little bit about, I guess we could talk a little bit about Gmail here while Firefox is deciding what it wants to do. Yep, it just crashed. How about that? You know, those guys at Firefox, they need to fix this. They really, really do. I'm losing faith in this application. It's happened. This is two shows in recent weeks that Firefox has crashed. Now, hopefully, the software that I've got sent in the plugin for recovery will recover, and it'll actually reload back up. As we're waiting for that, there's a report out that Gmail is now the number one email application out there for web-based applications, beating out AOL. AOL has, for a very, very long time, been the leader in email accounts, and this is a big thing for the folks at Google. I'm glad that they're out of beta. But it would have been kind of interesting to have been in beta and still been number one. So congratulations to the folks over at Google for obtaining that number one space. Well, Firefox did reload. All the browser windows are coming back up. We'll see how long it takes them to load here. Another article that was in the news was that IE8, there was a big test done by the folks at PC Magazine, and they are indicating that IE8 is now the most secure browser on the marketplace. And I was pretty flabbergasted about that, thinking that, you know, up to this point, Firefox has held their own. Obviously, they're not holding their own tonight. But they did throw a bunch of malware sites at it, and it did better on the malware sites, so significantly better. I think it was 23% was the ones that Firefox caught, and 81% was the number of sites that IE caught. So this is quite the change, and I'm sure that the folks at Mozilla will be answering up to this on what's going on. But it's concerning to me that, you know, the browser that I've been using for a long time and been standing behind is more secure in a, you know, head-to-head test, didn't do so well. Now, Firefox did better than Safari and one other browser, but still, you know, I expected these guys to be on top. Now, they're saying that, you know, a browser is just your really kind of your first line of defense, and, you know, your virus and malware protection that you may have on your computer is ultimately what's going to save you. But I really don't get it. Someone asked in the chat if I'd upgraded to 3.5.2. Let me look and see what version I'm actually running. Let's see, help about Mozilla. Yeah, I'm at 3.5.2, Jeffrey. I have no idea what's going on. This thing just, what it is I got a lot of browser windows open, and I'm sure there's probably a plugin in here or an add-on that's causing me some hate and discontent. So I'll just have to play with it a little bit, see if I can get it more stable. All right, the iPhone OS 3 bug is allowing delete the emails to rise from the dead. How many of you have been reading your email on your iPhone? And I basically have been using the onboard, you know, email account to download my Gmail and accidentally hit delete. And I've done that. I was like, oh, there it goes. And, you know, basically I would get back to the house and, you know, be online and just, you know, log into Gmail manually and go into my deleted areas and find the ones and undelete it. But now there is a, you can search for it, go to the search section of the iPod, search for the person's name that sent you the email, and it will actually show you deleted emails from your phone. So I'm sure this won't be around for very long, but that's what the current way is to kind of trick the system. If you accidentally delete an email and aren't going to be near your, you know, easily to get to the site to be able to undelete it from the, you know, basically from the web log on. Article over on Engadget Sprint is now reselling WiMAX in Atlanta, Portland, and Las Vegas. It looks to me like Sprint is, of course, joined up with the WiMAX folks from Clear and making it 4G available. You know, being that I'm going to be in Vegas here shortly, and I already have a Sprint eVideo card, I'm going to be calling Sprint here in the next day or so and saying, hey, do you have a dual-purpose card? Do you have a card that will do eVideo and WiMAX? And is this going to cost me any more money, or is this going to be part of my normal plan? So I'm pretty excited about this. So Vegas has got the 4G turned on. Any of you out in Vegas using Clear or any of the Sprint services? And if you are, what kind of speed are you getting? Love to hear your thoughts back on that. But we'll see what. Oh, it's actually $10 more on top of your 3G plan. Oh, wait a minute. Well, I don't have eVideo 3G, I guess. We will see. I'll call them and find out, and I'll let you guys know on the next show. All right, moving on here. Do you live in Pittsburgh? I'm going to give the city of Pittsburgh two thumbs up. They have developed a mobile app, right now released just for the iPhone, but they're going to come out with some more apps or different for the G1 and the Pre. What they've got is, you know, how many times you've been driving around in your town or city and seen something and say, oh man, how come the city doesn't come clean that up? Well, you can snap a picture of this. You can attach a quick note. You can send the geotagged information because you got the GPS information. You can send it over to the city's 311 operators. And I guess that's the people in Pittsburgh. You call 311 and you get someone there that's like the rubbish, you know, it's a central dispatch for city crews. And you can send them out, you know, some for potholes, gridlocked traffic, you know, all kinds of stuff. Cars that have been abandoned. Very, very smart by the folks there in Pittsburgh for putting out this iPhone app. I think we're going to start seeing more of these in cities. And, you know, what a way. We all drive around and see stuff and just get mad, right? And how many times have you seen people maybe doing something where they're violating, you know, a city ordinance, where they're pouring oil down a drain or, you know, doing something harmful? or I like my neighbor sweeping leaves down the storm drain, which him and I had a discussion on, and he probably won't be doing anymore. you know, it's one of those things that we all see stuff, and what a great way just to snap a picture and boom, be off to the races and have reported it. Now, if they do anything with it, that's another thing. All right, those of you that have a G1. Dun, 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 dun. I got bad news for you here. If you have an original T-Mobile G1, it is being rumored that you're not going to see any Android updates beyond 1.5. And the reason is when the folks released that G1, they did so with a meager amount of internal flash memory. So they're saying that the app has grown to the point where they don't believe they're going to be able to go to version 2.0 on the original G1 phones by T-Mobile. You know, let's just take, you know, T-Mobile's already got it rough enough as it is. There's been the slowest to roll out any 3G. Some cities are getting it. Now their customers aren't going to be able to upgrade to 2.0 firmware. You know, G1 users are as fanatical as some Mac users. Yeah. You're going to see a lot of information on this for sure and a lot of talk about it. So T-Mobile is saying they're going to plan to continue to work with Google to introduce future software updates. And they're saying, quote unquote, those reports are inaccurate, but not according to the programmers that are, you know, developing Android software. They saying that the firmware is not, it doesn't have enough memory to be able to support it. So time will tell here. How many send pictures to Flickr? Do you send pictures with Flickr with your mobile phones, or do you use your cameras? I'll be honest with you, I don't remember the last time I sent a picture to Flickr with a regular a camera. It used to be that the Canon EOS Digital Rebel, which I think my wife and I actually have a Digital Rebel. We love that little camera. It's actually not little. It's a full body camera. It's really nice. I think we've had it for 3 or 4 years. We've got some small cameras as well, but up to this point, the EOS 40D, the Nikon D80, the Canon EOS Digital Rebel X5i and the XTi have been leaders in images being sent to Flickr. Well, as of this moment, the iPhone is now the most popular camera in Flickr, and this point and shoot and be able to upload to Flickr on a moment's notice is what's driving this. And that's why a lot of these guys that are professional shooters that send stuff, or professional photographers sending stuff to Flickr, they've always got some sort of a Wi-Fi device, like a MiFi attached to a Wi-Fi. Basically, they've got a Wi-Fi card on their camera, and it's bridged the gap. Now, as crappy as the, still, as many improvements as they made with the phone camera, it kind of surprises me, really, that the iPhone has overtaken all of the cameras and submissions to Flickr. So what are you guys doing? How are you guys sending stuff up? I have been using the new Quick app for the iPhone. I sent up a video. You guys saw it at Geek News Central. You saw my little tour around the Hacienda here with the showing you guys the yard and stuff. So many of you have asked in the past to, basically they want to look around, and I did. I sent out, put up a 2 or 3 minute video of just me walking through the front, side, and backyard. It was hoo-hoo, big thing. Everyone's seeing a yard, right? But gotten a lot of views on that already, surprisingly. And I did mention in there that, yes, I have a security system, and, yes, we have cameras. And my wife was flipping. She's like, why are you putting that on the internet? And I'm like, because, people already know where we live. We live pretty public life online. And people also know that we've got pretty good security here, too. So, but anyway, yeah, it did freaked her a little bit out. So I have to be careful on how much of that I do. Okay, how has the web changed job search? Being that I haven't had to really ever look for a job, isn't that horrible? Doing as many years in the Navy as I did, and then you really just going social media full time, and I built a resume as I was getting ready to retire. I went through that whole process and had a stack of resumes in multiple formats ready to go, and never really had to send any out. So and I feel I'm very fortunate for that, and it's your great audience here has allowed me to be able to do this on a real full-time basis here. But the web has changed job search, and I'm looking down through here, and I always thought that person to person, meeting someone, networking with them, that was the way to a great job. And maybe even job fairs, but job fairs are completely at the bottom of the list now. Networking is still number one. Social networking sites like LinkedIn and Twitter. Management recruiting firms are number three. Internet job board like Munster or Career Builder is number four. An employer website is number five. Cold calling is six. Blindly sending resumes is seventh. Newspaper classifieds eighth. And job fairs are ninth. Now, if you have been affected by the recent economic downturn, what are you? How are you searching for jobs? What are you using? And have you picked up a job recently, through an online website? Have you been able to pick up a job through the folks over at Twitter? Have you been able to get a job lead that way? So love to hear your feedback on this. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. Hey, those of you that are overseas, in one of the 155 countries, yes, you guys can call that number too. All you got to do is get on Skype. A 1 minute call to that U.S. number costs you about 20 cents, or, it doesn't cost you very much. Feel free to call into that number. Love to hear from the those of you that listen in multiple countries around the world to the show. So, yeah, love to hear how you guys have found jobs recently, and what's been your key to success. Let's talk a little bit about 4G. Of course, we talked a little bit about the beginning of the show about Sprint bringing this out and making it available in Portland and Vegas and one other location. But there's a good article over on GigaOhm at GigaOhm.com talking about the spectrum, the RF spectrum out there. Now, if any of you have ever, I used to have a chart that showed the entire U.S. electronic spectrum. All the frequencies broke down, and it would list exactly who and what was using which particular frequencies. And I mean, it's an amazing chart. You can probably find it online. I should dig it out and show it to you. Well, or actually put a link to it. But what, maybe someone in the chat can help me out. Maybe one of you guys can find one of those. But the actual spectrum that is available today for Verizon, Sprint, and all these other companies to bring on mobile services and do over-the-air broadband, TV, you name it, is 409 megahertz. And that's just a very tiny, tiny sliver of frequency. And everything else is made up of, you know, airport frequencies, VHF, UHF signals for, you know, different types of functions. And actually, 405 megahertz falls in the UHF range. If I'm probably going to get smacked here. So really, it's a very narrow amount. But actually, 409 is the total bandwidth available or total frequency spectrum available, not the specific frequency. But at that frequency right now, we're serving per megahertz. We're serving 660,000 people per megahertz. Now, Mexico, actually not Mexico, Germany is actually using is actually per megahertz is serving 350,000 people, whereas some other countries are up there very close to where we are in its percentages, but we're the number one in density. Per user per megahertz. And the study is out saying that the U.S. needs to have about 800 megahertz available for mobile voice and data by 2010. Now, if you remember, it took about 10 years to get the 700 megahertz spectrum auctioned off. And, of course, that went for billions of dollars here a year and a half ago. And a big winner there, of course, being Verizon. And, of course, a lot of other companies got sub-networks, sub-frequencies of that bandwidth or of that frequency spectrum. So really, that even though we've got some 700 megahertz spectrum auctioned off, made available, it's just a sliver of the 700 megahertz band. It's not like it's the full 700 megahertz. So this is an interesting dilemma that we're going to be facing here in the United States, is that we're essentially at frequency saturation. And there's only so much stuff they can subdivide and divide, you know, cross and chop and, you know, subcarrier frequency, all, you know, all these little tricks they get to channelize stuff. You know, digital helps as well, but it's going to be a challenge for a number of coming years. And really, I don't know if the Congress is going to do anything about it. So wouldn't that be odd? Go to a store to buy, pick up a mobile phone and say, sorry, sir. You cannot pick up a mobile phone today. Our per megahertz quota has been, or per user per megahertz quota has been exceeded. You have to wait 5 years to get a phone. It could happen. It really, really could. Talk about an actual. It would kill the economy. It really, really would. All right. How many of you see a foreign blog from time to time and say, boy, I wish I could read that article? Maybe there's two or three keywords in there that Google has caught, sent you over there, and you're like, how, you know, I want to translate this. There's a few blogs that I like reading. There's a couple of German blogs that I like reading, and I've always had to manually, you know, have them translated. But Google now, through Google Reader, has a little trick where you can actually auto-translate a blog and provide it in your RSS feed. So I'll put the link up to this. This is really cool. It really, really is. And it's all built right into Google Reader. And I didn't know this was available. And, you know, these, you know, you have to kind of, sometimes the translations aren't perfect, but at least you get an idea, you know. And maybe a fourth or fifth word is just a little off, and you have to kind of read into it a little bit. But I don't read French. I can't read Japanese. I don't speak German. So this is just a wonderful thing. All right, this week and last week, there's been the URL shortener service Trim, TR.im, has been in the news and taking a lot of criticism. First, they said they were going to shut down by December. Then they said they were going to stay open while they tried to find a buyer. And today they said, hey, we're going to make the Trim infrastructure and code open source. And they're going to work on a community, basically a co-op. I can tell you a little bit about co-ops, how those really sometimes work or don't work. But they're going to be looking at people to contribute to it and support it and help build the site out. I think it's pretty cool. I think this is a smart move by them. And really, at this point, kind of the only choice they really, really had. Now, in the spirit of giving, Dave Weiner has decided that he is going to releasing the app behind his website, 40twits, 40twits.com, and it's pretty cool. So it's what they do. It's an application that builds on the Trim API. So I have no. I wish I was a coder. I really, really, really wish I was. If I was, I probably would never leave this office. I probably would not be married because it would probably eat up all my time more than it is already. But for those of you that are good with code and play around with it, here's a couple open source projects you can play around with and have at and move and go forth. All right, this new app that's available on the App Store, it's called GPush. I actually downloaded this today. It's a new app. That what it will do is every time a email comes into your Gmail account, you get a message from this application saying, hey, you got a new email. I had it on there for about 3 hours. Ding, 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 ding. I mean, the phone was driving me crazy. There was no way to set a setting. Hey, go quiet. I don't want to hear you right now. It was driving me insane. If you get a lot of email, do not install this application. It was 99 cents that I wasted. 3 hours, I deleted it. But it needs a quiet time setting or ignore or something. But ding, ding, ding. I mean, someone I was with was like, what's wrong with your phone? So, but if you can handle the dinging and being informed that you have new email, GPush is available for you. I have the link, of course, up in the show notes, be delivered in the newsletter as well tonight. All right. The Apple event scheduled for Wednesday, September 9th, quote unquote, no tablet being announced, but this is more than likely their annual iPhone event where they'll be announcing either they're bringing out some new models, upgrades, talking about iTunes. So we'll see what happens with this. But the street vibe is all saying that this is a something to do with the showcasing the iPod line. So we'll see what Apple has planned for us here in a few weeks on September 9th on this. And I'm never going to put it past Apple to pull a fast one and introduce something else to the community because, there's been this undercurrent of buzz building about this tablet of some sort that they're coming out with. And the more I think about that thing, if they do this the way I think they're going to do this, Kindle, the Amazon Kindle is going to get killed because if they make a reader on that and have good battery life, and color, and doing it the Apple way with their good ergonomics, I guess that's the right way to say that, and everything else, being able to play movies, being able to maybe do email, surfing the net, it could be a biggie. It really, really could. I could see, and the more I think about this, I'm thinking, wow, this could be a pretty powerful, because let's face it, there's only so much you can do on this. I'm in my 40s. And at times, I have to put my glasses on to read something that's on here. This is not my optimal device for surfing the net. Something just a little bit bigger would probably fit the category that I'm looking for a portable device. They would travel with me primarily. So we'll see. All right, I have to, every time I see one of these types of acquisitions, I kind of go, wow. You know, when I started Raw Voice and the team built the team, we initially launched a website called Podcaster News. And I don't give that very much discussion anymore. I should push it a lot more, so you guys can go over there and check it out. There's a number of core podcasters over there that blog. They get their hosting for free. They put out news, entertainment, stuff that's of a short natured content, but something that's relevant for right now. And MSNBC acquired Everyblock. It's a Chicago-based website that offers news information down the neighborhood level in 15 cities. You know, that was one of the dreams I had with Podcaster News, is we would start out and build up national content and have a number of contributors every day putting in sports, weather, tech, regular just world news, financials, the whole, coming up with the, having this contributed by podcasters. And then as that stabilized and that content got built out where it would be have a regular following, it would be something that people that were driving to work could get, four or five different shows, less than about 5 minutes each. That gives you boom, 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 gives you the headlines. And it never really built to that point. We didn't have the skills to, at the time, the money, nor really the know-how to really, push this thing into the space that it deserved to be in. And so today when I see Everyblock being sold, makes me realize that there's still today a lot of potential for, sites like Podcaster News and sites like Everyblock that's doing this stuff where it's very local, very centralized. And, even though this news on this site is coming from local sources, nothing like generated content from the people. So we'll see how they do with this and what utilization they make of this and if they expand it. Once a big media is really embracing the social media scene. Okay, make your own URL shortening service. I've talked about Get Shorty before. That's the one I use. And I actually picked up some .fm domains to use as some new URL shorteners. But they've got some applications out there that are pre-built. All you have to do is download them and put them on your own server. One is Yourls, Yourls. It's a server-based web app that you can run, that you can install. There's a variety of them out there. I didn't know that there was this many. There's also some other options out there. Google Short Links, it's a lab feature. You can use the StumbleUpon. You can use Furl, P-H-U-R-L, or Short URL. Now, again, I like Get Shorty because you control it. You just got to find a domain to run it on. And that way you don't have to ever worry about your short URLs going out of vogue with some company shutting down. All right, Times Online. Wow. Have they got an article that really, I guess if you were a WWE fan, hope I got that right. I'm not a wrestling fan, but if you're a WWE fan, this would be known as come off the top rope. And whatever they do when they body slam someone, they have taken Steve Jobs to task. Now, Apple tried to get them to not run this article, but this is less than flattering. And boy, when you read the comments, the Apple fans have really come to Steve's defense, but they pulled no punches in this article. And I was just pretty surprised. It looked to me really here as I'm reading through this. I'm like, do these guys have an agenda? Are they, what is the, what's, most of this is pretty common knowledge, but it all gives a synopsis of information that is it's pretty damning. It really, really is. So 4-page article, and so Steve Jobs, the man who polished Apple, and talk about his paranoia, how he cheated death, and how he's really changed the world, and his plus and minuses, and his mode operandi of how he manages Apple on a day-to-day basis. So love to hear you guys what you think about this. You know, Mac fan or not, I don't know. I don't know if this was a completely fair article. All right, do you have a spare 21 gigs on your hard drive? Do you have a peer-to-peer application to download a BitTorrent? In just a few days, the Pirate Bay is going to be passed on to its new owners and really ending an era. And we'll see what happens with the Pirate Bay. But someone has conveniently packed into every torrent that was being tracked on the website, 21.3 gigs of data. And you can download the 873,671 torrent files hosted on the Pirate Bay servers. Now, what the torrent file does is basically it gives you the information on who's seeding, information about the file. It's, you know, it gives basically it's the meat that allows BitTorrent to work. There's lots and lots of different torrent sites out there, or torrent application. I shouldn't even say application. Torrent web apps. You can download. They're open source. You can install them on your server, and you can run your own torrent tracker. It's really easy. It's just, do you want to come under the scrutiny of, you know, the folks that have taken the Pirate Bay and other sites down like this and, you know, end up in millions of dollars in fines and so forth to different owners. Now, I used to run a torrent tracker myself, but I did it just for the delivery of this show, and I did not allow anyone else to use it. I would log in and set the torrent up, and I had that available as a feed, but it never got used enough for me to justify the extra time it took to run it. But, yeah, if you're looking for those 873 torrents and you got want to download 21 gigs of data, feel free. It's available. All right, let's talk a little bit about Bing. You know, I went over to Bing a couple days ago and actually was using it probably for a couple of hours. I was refreshed. Google, it seems, I don't know what it's been recently, but when I'm looking for specific information, it's becoming harder and harder. Somehow, Google, the results are not as concise and clear, and, you know, I just don't get good results. I have to dig down through. It's just like this, these cameras that I bought. I was looking for real reviews. In other words, blogger reviews, people that had bought those reviews. And there was a couple of things that I didn't, even reading through the specs, that I didn't understand. So I ordered one of each. I ordered a 70 model and a 100, D70 and a D100. And when I got them here, there's a stark difference that I wrote up on my blog post. It just took me, you know, 2 or 3 minutes to write up, but really would have helped me kind of discerning. I probably would have bought two of the same type if I'd have known some of the things I was looking for. But I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked, and I really didn't find the information I was looking for on Google. Now, the reason I say this is because here's the difference in these two cameras, is I went over to Bing, and I said, okay, how come I should have checked over here first? And I did a similar search that I used on Google, and lo and behold, I found a review that basically backed up the same information that I found out about 10 minutes out of pulling these things out of the box. And I was really disappointed. I'm like, wow, Google failed me. So this is interesting that Bing's traffic is up. Their market share has increased to 8.9% of search queries in July. That's up 8.4% now. You just got to think about this. Google has not really been impacted by any search engine for a very, very long time. And, you know, half a percentage point, even though it's only from 8.4 to 8.9, is significant. It's a significant impact to, and I'm sure the folks over at Microsoft are high-fiving themselves. But Try Bing out a few times. Don't be afraid to go over there and play with it. All right, let's talk about 130 million credit cards stolen. I guess some guy in Miami who has been working with probably some individuals in Russia. Two unnamed Russian conspirators made off with more than 130 million credit and debit cards from late 2006 to early 2008. They stole information from 7-Eleven, from Hanford Brothers, Heartland Payment Systems, Heartland Brothers, Hanford Brothers, a regional supermarket chain, and two unnamed national retailers. Now, to get 130 million credit cards, they didn't get them from a grocery store. Now, 7-Eleven probably does a lot of processing, but the two unnamed national retailers are probably account for the majority of these credit cards being ripped off. So if you start getting new credit cards in the mail, don't be surprised. It may be from this, but this guy is already under indictment for some other charges from a 2008 thing that he did. And this guy like spends money like he's he throws it around. It's very disturbing. And I got to thinking about this more today as I was reading through this. They did a little social engineering. They actually got into businesses, got access to servers. There was different ways that they were able to brute force attack some of the, and it was all done through hacking. But and they acted as consultants coming in and, you know, looking for, you know, bugs in the system and so forth. But at this point in the game, Social Security numbers tied to our birth date, tied to our names, is really all that stands between us and identity theft. And someone that wants to do identity theft against you bad enough will. All they have to do is be persistent, and they, you know, they'll be able to get access to that type of data. And with this number of break-ins are happening on different websites, you know, it's gotten me to the point where something has to be done. And, you know, our federal government is going to have to step up and maybe get some legislation in place that it's time for a change. You know, maybe it's time for biometrics. Maybe it's time for me to, when I apply for credit, I have to use my thumbprint. Maybe it's time to do away with Social Security numbers. Untie those from credit reports and so forth. There has got to be a way that we can curb some of this identity theft that's going on. And I haven't paid attention to initiatives out there to do so. And maybe some of you have, but I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this. It just prompted me. I haven't downloaded one of my credit reports in a while. Maybe it's time to, sign up for a monitoring service. And are you guys doing that? At least every 3 to 6 months, you probably should access your credit report. But, you know, most of us don't remember that. So I got to have something that's automated, sends me an email or something. So what are you guys using out there to monitor your credit? What are you watching to make sure you're not a victim of identity theft? I'd love to hear your feedback on this, because this is just getting worse and worse. And, your chances out of those 130 million of being one person they picked out, if you're an easy target, you're online a lot, you have an online presence, it doesn't take too much. Just like you go to a car dealer. Hey, sir, how you doing? What's your name? My name's Todd. Oh, what do? I work. Where do you live? In a house. I don't want to give them too much information, because with those three pieces of information, they can almost pull a credit check on you, right? car dealers, they don't need to know nothing except I'm there to buy a car. It's scary. It really, really is. And if it doesn't make you sit back and think, it shouldn't. If you've have had any issues with identity theft at all, I'm sure someone in the audience, as big as the audience is going to be emailing me and saying, Todd, you need to do this like right now. So I want to hear your advice. 619-342-7365. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right. Burger King drive-thru workers are trying to cheat the timer. How many of you been in a fast food place went to the counter, ordered your food. You know, it goes up on that little thing, right? Well, they pull off your order in a little, you know, it's got a tape. It's got your order on it. And they post it on, you know, they put it on something where it sticks, and then they clear your order. It clears it in the timer. Well, most of those places, they're not supposed to clear that counter until you get your food. It's truly okay, how fast are, you know, when is this, how long is it taking you from the time you take the order to get this guy his sandwich? Well, what they're doing at Burger King is if you're ever asked to back up before you pull forward, you should ask them why. Well, it appears that timers that are actually sensors that are in the ground will reset when you back up and then pull forward. And it resets the clock, and you don't have to they get a faster service time on you, even though you still sit in your car and wait 30 minutes when you probably could have got in, got your food, and walked out in five. So pretty interesting. It's a pretty good article on the Consumerist. So I'll have this linked up to you in the show notes. So no, don't back up. Make them earn their money. Okay, there's a little bit more information. As I was reading, of course, talking today about the identity theft, there's a good article about security on CNET News talking about how 10 digits will end privacy as we know it. And this is a pretty good piece. So I gave you an opportunity to take a chance, you know, take a look at this. It's more information about basically the same topic I was just talking about. Should have had this lined up with the other article, but this is over at CNET, so I have this up in the show notes. Okay, the UK, boy, I tell you, they have been releasing all kinds of stuff when it comes to UFOs, and they actually released some information that basically gives a bunch of case information from 1981 to 1996. Talks about UFOs made over 600 visits to the UK in a single year, and they saw an increase of actual sightings. When you guessed it, a certain television program was on. A certain individual who performed by the name of Scully. You guys know who I'm talking about, right? So that TV show seemed to have drove the number of sightings out there. Sightings went up when that show was big. So we'll have to – some of these write-ups are pretty good. You'll have to go through these. And we all know that there was all kinds of crazy stuff on The X-Files. But these are not stories from The X-Files. These are stories from the UK files on actual write-ups. And they actually got a special form that I found pretty fascinating that gives, you know, date, time, duration, exactly where you're standing, azimuth, the direction. And see, this is a UFO sighting form. I'm glad the UK has this. I don't know if they have these in the United States or not, but if they're having that many sightings, they obviously have a reason to. Now, one of the reports was of a wailing noise and mysterious lights being beamed onto a cemetery in Cheshire in July of 1996. Investigators found four smoldering railway sleepers. What is a railway sleeper? That would be in a cemetery. I'm thinking like a rail car, a sleeper car for a railway. Is that what they're talking about? Why would there be a railway car in a cemetery? And I don't get this one. So someone from the UK said that there was four smoldering railway sleepers, one with a hole burnt through it. Okay, railways, we don't have railway stuff here in Hawaii. Talks about the Belgian Air Force scrambling F-16 fighters to intercept UFOs. A report of the incident in March of 1990 confirms the F-16s obtained lock-ons with their radars, but could not explain what caused the phenomenon that they saw. Numerous sightings over Scotland as Bonnie Bridge became the UFO hotspot during the mid-1990s. Lots of cool pictures here, so a few that we've seen from some movies and so forth, so I'll have those up in the show notes. Any good UFO stories? I got a couple. You guys want to hear them? maybe next show. You got to tell me a couple of yours. These have to be the real deal. No fakes. I'll preview all audio before I get into mine. 619-342-7365. Tell me your story. 5 ways to keep laptop thieves from jacking your data. If you have a laptop and you're traveling with it and you don't have the hard drive encrypted, you need to. Of the 5 items in this list, and I'll let you guys look at all of them on your own, this is probably the most important thing. You can secure on a Mac, and you can secure with a PC. BitLocker with a PC, and of course the File Vault with the Mac. You need to secure your hard drive data. Laptops get stolen all the time. I'm very nervous when I'm going through airports. I travel a lot, as you know. Matter of fact, this is what we forgot to talk about being the show. I'll cover it here in a second. You know, get your hard drives encrypted. Lock down your user accounts. Manage your passwords. Again, encrypt those files. You know, use some common sense. You know, be very, very careful out there, okay? All right. As I mentioned, I'm going to be in Silicon Valley from the 24th to the 27th. I fly in the morning of the 24th, do the show the night of the 24th. It'll be an early show. Then 25th, 26th, and 27th, I leave midday. Planning on having a meetup either the 25th or the 26th. I need a great place. Can you guys give me a suggestion on where to meet in Mountain View or San Jose? Where's a great place to eat? Some place where we can chat, have fun. Any kind of food is good with me. I do know that I've got a couple of private appointments with some podcasters there that we're doing some individual business with at Raw Voice. Be meeting with them before the meetup for sure. But got a lot to cover there when I'm in Mountain View. So love to hear your suggestions on where to go. I'm going to be definitely having a meetup, though. We'll have as many in as you want to come in. And it'll be a fun evening to sit down and just talk about the show, talk about what you guys are doing, and should be good. So, again, those of you in the San Francisco area, San Jose, Mountain View, all those areas in there in Silicon Valley, we'll see you in a week here. And I look forward to having a good time with you all. Okay. Over on at CRN.com, talking about iPhone not translating into carrier profits. You know, there's the carriers that are out there worldwide are saying, we're not making any money with the iPhone. AT&T is not even, you know, they're claiming not to be making much of a profit. What are they talking about? They're making huge money. You look at their financial reports that are coming out. This is a fluff article. Not making any money. They got to be crazy. They're not making any money. Now, Apple's definitely breaking in the cash. But to say that these mobile carriers aren't making any, that's just like, give me a break. All right, how many of you still use MySpace? How many of you know about this service called iLike? I don't even know what that is. Never been on iLike. But iLike was purchased by MySpace. It's the first purchase by their new CEO. And they're trying to get back in the game here, folks. I haven't been on MySpace in a long time. And the iLike app is, I guess, a music discovery service. And they're going to build that into integrate it with MySpace a little bit. But MySpace is really kind of, they lost their game, haven't they? It's just, I'm not impressed with what they've been doing recently. Okay. How many of you, I'm not a big sports guy. Okay, so some of you that are sports fans maybe are going to have to clue me in here, but the Southeastern Conference, the SEC, is expected to release a final version of its new media policy that at the moment can be best described as a ban on all social media usage at SEC games. In other words, you hold up your phone and you take a picture of the kickoff. And you push that to YouTube or your quick page or whatever it is, you could get ejected from the game. You could be charged with copyright infringement. You can't Twitter anything. You can't disseminate nothing on Facebook, YouTube, TwitPic, none of that. the only person, the only company that's authorized to broadcast anything, any type of media coverage whatsoever, is CBS. Good luck with that. You know, talk about awakening a sleeping giant. You know what these college kids, they're all going to have their phones out. They're all going to be pushing videos. Oh, boy. Good luck with that, SEC. All right, Microsoft has filed an emergency motion to be able to ship Microsoft Word. So that was filed today in Texas. We'll see what happens with that. We'll keep you up to date on whether or not they are getting an injunction. Comcast is going after the FCC. They filed suit, basically saying that the FCC did not have any right to tell them how they were throttling peer-to-peer traffic. So they're going to go to court over this one. The folks over at NASA, a little bit of space news here. As you can tell, I'm hurrying up because we're running long. A little space news here. They're building a lunar nuclear reactor. You know, why not? Hey, going to need some power up there, right? So it's called the Systems Nuclear Auxiliary Program. And it's a new power system. It's a project started around 2006. Oh, it's actually called the Fission Surface Power. And it's going to give them enough power to generate 40 kilowatts of energy. That's a lot of juice. That's a lot. It really, really is, 40 kilowatts. For those of you that are system admins and you're spending money to send out hard drives to have them destroyed, because you know how hard it is to destroy a hard drive, right? You want to check this article out on PC Pro. This guy has come up with a pretty cool homegrown that he's now marketing, a hard drive smasher. It's a disk destroyer that, based on what I've seen so far, I would put the old Geek News Central stamp of approval on it. I don't know what it costs right now, but it's only 200 pounds. So not bad. Not bad at all for price on being able to bust drives out. District 9. Who went and saw District 9? I want to go see it. Did not get to sneak off to go see it. Was it good? I don't want to hear any. I just want emails. geeknews@gmail.com. Should I go? Is this like the sci-fi movie of the year? Was it hokey? Don't tell me any of the – I don't want any – don't, you know, bust this thing for me. I want to go and see it and enjoy it. You just got to tell me whether or not I should go. Was it good or not? A couple of good articles here on Tech Dirt and basically talking about newspapers and not innovating and basically, you know, that control factor. You notice all these companies that are in the control factor are having a big trouble right now financially. Hey, if you are found guilty of file sharing in a Finnish court, and if you shared over 150 albums, the most recent fine was 3,000 euros. So still, he did 150 albums. What's there, like 7, 8, 9, 10 songs on an album? So that's, you know, 1,500 songs. And he only got whacked for 3,000 euros as compared to what, that 1.9 million or whatever it was here in the United States. The guy did 30 or something like that. All right, home burglar returns to taunt couple via Facebook. Some UK home burglar stole a laptop and some other things. And then when he got the laptop to a place where he could log into it, he logged into the individual's Facebook account and taunted the victims, left them messages telling them why they left the TV and didn't steal that. Oh, man, adding insult to injury really, really does. The Pirate Bay co-founder is going to be putting out a book. Would you guys buy a book, autobiography of him? I don't know if I would. And Japan news finally here. 1,370 Japanese stopped blogging and Twittering today. There's a law in Japan that basically says you can campaign for an office, but you can't do it online. So there's a lot of campaign politicians in Japan who are very upset today. They can still do speeches. They can still put out pamphlets, but no Twittering and no blogging. All right, let's go ahead and get into the voicemail comments and maybe a new intro for the show. And I actually shut that down. Let me load this here real quick. We'll get Winamp reloaded. And really, I don't know what to expect here. I know a couple of these are intros, and a couple of, and one of these might be a voicemail. So let's go ahead and listen to these. The first is Joe has sent me two intros. This is his number one intro that he sent for the new intro to the show. Let's check it out. And I really, Joe, we shouldn't be playing these because it'll give other people ideas. But if everybody gets real creative, the key, the important thing here is to get a good intro for the show. So here's the first one. Well, that must be the bed of music. Let's play the next one here.
For all the news that is geek news, this is the Geek News Central Podcast, talking tech for the common man. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Now sit down, strap in, and hang on, because here comes Todd, the Bodhisattva to the Ohana, on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Well, that's not bad, huh? Not bad at all. Let's listen to the other one.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, technology and science for the common man. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Now sit down, strap in, and hang on, because here comes Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Well, it's a pretty couple of pretty good intros. So what else? What's everybody else got? Bring it. Come on, bring it. There's a Zoom HD. Get those creative juices flowing. Let's see if you guys can take a little challenge here and beat Joe. Bring it. Bring it. I'm like, come on, let's fight. No, let's listen to a – I got an email from – a voicemail here from David. He says, I confess, I'm a geek. let's listen to – hopefully this is show safe.
Hi, Todd. It's David here from England.
Hey, David.
I just wanted to thank you, really. I've been operating a blog now for nearly a year, iconfessimageek.com, and decided I want to take up podcasting. I run my blog on WordPress and wanted to use the best possible plugin. First, I tried PodPress, but that wasn't compatible with the version of WordPress I was using. Then I used a program called Podcasting, but I was having lots and lots of problems with it. Couldn't get it to publish my podcast on my blog. And finally, discovered Blueberry. Well, I knew all about it all the time, really. I've been listening to you for a couple of years, but didn't realize how fantastic a program that was. A great plugin for WordPress. Got stuck quite late on with the iTunes submission part. Dropped a message on the forum on a Sunday, and within an hour, Angelo came back. I think he's your main developer with a result, and fixed it within about 5 minutes. So thank you ever so much. I'm now on the path to podcasting. Only 504 to go till I catch you up, but I'm going to do it 30 minutes once a week, so it's going to take quite a while. But thanks ever so much, Todd. Brilliant show, and good luck with all your future ventures.
Hey, thanks for the nice comment, and I'm glad you you found PowerPress to do. Oh, that wasn't supposed to play again. Hey, thanks for the nice comments, and I'm glad PowerPress is working out for you, and Angela was able to get you on to the right path here. When you get your show up, call back, leave your domain, do a promo here. You know, the podcasters, you guys can do that. You know, you can call in the voicemail hotline and leave a 30 to 45 second or, you know, a minute promo on your show. Well, that's easier than recording something. So this, you know, free open forum here. You know, just all I ask is just, you know, hey, mention my show on your show as a little quid pro, and I'd be more than happy to play your intro on the podcast here at geekmecentral.com. All right, let's go ahead and get into the email comments so that we don't go, well, we're going to go long again tonight, aren't we? As normal. So, oh, Bo has answered my question. Railway sleepers. Is this the thing that's under the railroad tracks? Very possible. And he's watching on the Ustream stream from Sweden right now. So thanks, Bo, for sending that. That might be exactly what it is. Got an email from, oh. Yeah, Jose, let's talk on that. If you're watching the show right now, I'm not going to read it out loud. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what else? Actually, I'm in the wrong section. Let me load this up here. Hey, Todd, I got some comments about the topics in a previous podcast about the AP charging anyone for quoting from any of their articles. Like the film and music industry, they want total control and money. It's monopoly. And you're right about having copyright facts and ideas. They're monopoly freaks. By the way, I've been hearing some ham or sometime a buzzing in the background during the podcast. A hum. A hum? That's interesting. Anybody else hearing a hum? Let me know. I got an email here from – actually, this came in from – that was the one from David. I got an email from Near, Todd. He said, you mentioned in show 502 that you don't allow your kids to text. Come on, get real. How can you practically stop her from doing so? Sure, taking away her mobile phone. If you try to stop her, all you're actually doing is forcing her to do it behind your back. It's a privilege to have a cell phone. And right now, it's my discretion on whether they can text. Now, I have recently placed a texting plan on their phone. They have a limit of 250 texts a month, and they have to check their text every 2 or 3 days to see how many they've sent. But, it's not I'm not allowing this wholesale texting to the point where that's all they're doing. And when she gets older and she's old enough to earn money to support herself, to pay her cell phone bill, she can text all she wants. But at this age, at 13, I'm trying to keep her focused on school and doing good in class. And she's got instruments she has to play. There's a variety of different things. And texting is a unnecessary distraction at this point. I'm sure in the very near future, things are going to start to change where the boys are going to start calling. And we'll have to deal with that as it comes. But they just know. If they can't do it and are not at a very, very limited basis, nothing to the point where they can do hundreds and hundreds of texts in a month. So, and that's 250 shared between her brother and her. So, it's just, it's the way I've said, it's the way another thing I don't allow is erasing of text. I don't go into snoop with the phone. But that's part of the rules. I said, don't erase your text, just trying to be a proactive parent here. I got an email from Bruce that says, hey, you asked in episode 501 and 502 about the BlackBerry users and growth of BlackBerry users. I listened to you by Vigo, V-I-I-G-O.com, by RSS feed. All my friends have Vigo, and I'm proud to say 100% have your podcast on it. Thanks to me. Yes, Bruce. Yes, that's the way to do it, my friend. Thank you so much for sharing. He says, feel free to share this email on your podcast if you see fit. Maybe there are other BlackBerry users who don't know about Vigo. So it's again at viigo.com. And your friend from, Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. I'm sure I just jacked that up. But thanks, Bruce, and thanks for sharing with your friends. Got an email from Ronald. Hey, Todd, I use PodTrapper to listen to you and the other podcast shows. A great program for every BlackBerry podcast listener should have. Worth every cent. Regards, Ronald from Hong Kong. At the moment in Maldives at the beach listening to show 500. Beautiful. That's the way to do it. Absolutely wonderful. Got a couple of emails here from Trucker Tom talking about JetBlue offering all you can fly plan for $5.99. So it's an unlimited flight pass valid for trips between September 8th and October 8th. Oh boy, better get on that, folks. If you want an unlimited all you can fly plan for $5.99 on JetBlue, have the link up in the show notes. Also, U.S. testing system to break foreign web censorship. And this is the U.S. government, they're saying in this article on Reuters, is the U.S. government is covertly testing technology in China and Iran that lets residents break through screens set up by their governments to limit access to news on the Internet. The feed over email FOE system delivers news, podcasts, and data via technology that evades web screening protocols of restrictive regimes. Very nice. So I don't wonder where they got that info, but that's a good one. And I actually saw something about that somewhere else today, too. Just in passing, I didn't pay a lot of attention to it. I should have. Summer of Fail. Why are new shows bombing? This summer is one for the record books. More than a dozen new programs launched on broadcast television, and not one was a breakout hit, with returning shows down and ratings at all-time low. Hey, it's a recession. People aren't watching TV. People are trying to figure out how they're going to feed their family. That's what it's all about. And last article by Trucker Tom was, government proposes massive shift in online privacy policy. The ACLU submitted comments today to the Office of Management and Budget opposing recent proposal to reverse current federal policy and allow the use of web trafficking technologies like cookies on federal government websites. Cookies can be used to track an internet user's every click and are often linked across multiple websites that frequently identify particular people. Since 2000, and this is predates the previous administration, it has been policy of the federal government not to use such technology, but the OMB is now seeking to change that policy and is considering the use of cookies for tracking. I don't know what I think about that. What do you guys think? You want your government tracking you? You want people sending in emails to you if you say something bad about the government? I don't know. That strikes me as a little bit concerned, actually a lot of concern. You should be able to be critical of your government and not be tattletale, you know, someone telling on you and going on some list. And I'm not saying that they're creating a list, but it does make me go, Okay, that's all I've got tonight, I think. And, yeah, that's all I got. So what are we on time? Woo, we're long. All right, folks, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, +1-619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. I want to thank all of you for hanging out. It's been my pleasure to bring the show. Be back with you on Friday. Make sure you check out my cool little cameras. I'm having so much fun with these things. In the first 10 or 15 minutes of the show, link will be, of course, in the actual video will probably be actually on the blog post tonight. And thanks for hanging with me. And as always, I'd love to hear your comments and basically links to cool stuff that I may miss. And your overall support. So that's it, folks. Everyone take care, and we'll see you next time. Aloha.